Your favorite Monday pastime. It's another episode of Talk About That.
That's right. We're back.
Here with Johnny. I'm John. So glad you joined us yet again to all of the faithful listeners around the world. Around the world.
Everywhere. We're in several countries, I think, aren't we?
Several would be a really low ball on it, Johnny. I would say multiple.
Many, so many countries.
We are a municipal treasure.
This will come out on what, the 20s?
This will come out. Hold on, and I'll tell you. I have the calendar right here. Right here on the 25th.
Did we ever do an episode where we talked about resolutions? Like whether or not, do you still do resolutions? Because like this is the week of the year where people normally have given up on their resolution.
You think so already by now?
Yeah, you broke the diet or you've skipped at least 2 days at the gym in a row, which that's the tipping point, right? When you go, okay, I'll skip today because I'm super sore, but we'll go tomorrow. And then when you don't go tomorrow, you're never going back to that gym.
And you've already paid for
that. There's a comedian used to do a bit about that, Christian Finnegan. I think he said that you can't cancel the gym. Like, it's not just that it's hard to get out of the gym, like the contracts.
But when you cancel your, yeah.
It's like you've given up. It's like you've just said, look, I need that $30 a month enough that I'm going to embarrass myself by saying, like, I've decided to be a fat person now. So you don't do it. You don't go to the gym to cancel. You just pay what he called your fat tax. You pay your fat tax once a month to be fat. So this is when people normally, like, devolve into the fat tax element. Don't you think?
Maybe. I passed 10 pounds loss this morning.
Well, that's great. So you're on the way back.
My wife's doing better than me. Like, she's killing it. She's doing great. And I am doing 500 push-ups a week.
500?
Yeah. So 500 push-ups a week. And
do you skip days? Like, do you do a day to recover?
I do 90 a day and I skip Sunday.
Can you do that, though? Like, is that so? Because normally you wouldn't lift weights 2 days in a row, but like, maybe if it's plyometric, it doesn't.
You know, three sets of 30, they're not that hard. It doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah.
Because I spread it out throughout the day. I don't think it's.
Maybe it only is that way if you're lifting like heavier weight.
Right. All the like real workout people are like, that's nothing. I lifted my Volkswagen or whatever. But like, for me.
No, it's just all about. Yeah.
Yeah. It just helps. And then I'm eating, you know, keto again, but I'm low fat keto right now. I'm not just like slamming back, you know, sleeves of wings right now. So
the wings come in.
It's a special place I order from. So yesterday, though, I'm running. And I'm running at least 12 miles a week. Okay, so that's kind of my regimen right now.
Yeah.
All right, those things. Johnny, yesterday I'm running in the cold.
Yeah.
Okay. Got my mask on, all those things. I'm at the end of my 3 mile. And I don't know how you feel, but with my hat on, or like my toboggan or my face mask, whatever I have, like I have wireless headphones in.
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
No.
So when I ran out of the neighborhood, of course, I encountered somebody. So I reach in with gloves on and have to pull this thing out so that I know in case they talk to me or I want to say hi,
right,
not being rude to a neighbor. And then it's all, you know, clunky to get it back in. And it's just, it messes with your run. Because you have, you're going, and now you're like, okay, hey, yeah, thanks, yeah, help, good day, yeah, like, and you're back in, and it takes you another.
Who's talking to you?
People walking on the street.
Oh.
So
you could just wave, assuming.
But what
if they said
hello? I was running past them. What if they're like, well, a heck of a day we're having today, and I'm like, just wave, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm trying to be available for like that short, meaningless conversation. So anywho, happens twice.
Yeah.
I run past people, so I take it out. I get to the very end. And there's this, it's kind of in this rural area at that point. I'm way down past, I'm like Corps of Engineer land. And there's this house. I've never seen the house. This really long driveway that goes up into this hill and you can't even see it. And there's mailboxes at the end. So the people drive to the end of their, you know, driveway.
They drive down just to get their mail?
Just to get their mail. Yeah. Like that's how far away they are from their house.
So
of course, as I'm running up, this sweet little old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Drives down, gets out. I reach up. I'm like, I need this music for this last like 10 feet because it's hard right now, you know. And I reach out. I take out my headphone because I could tell she was talking to me.
Yeah.
And I said, how you doing? I don't know what she said at first. And Johnny, she says to me, hey, you running trying to get that extra weight off?
Wow. This is a woman who, by the way, won't even walk down her driveway. She dares.
I said, I'm trying. And
wow.
And
that was, and then you collapsed.
And I finished my run in a heap of just that shame.
That is, man.
She just drove off. I was like, I thought she was a sweet little old lady. It turns out she was contributing.
John, you're
to
not fat, though. That's a
my body.
Maybe
image.
As you run, maybe there's a jiggle. I've not seen you in motion recently.
I don't know. What's your jiggle? What is the old jiggle rate? You know,
yeah.
How long it takes you to. Isn't that your old joke?
Yeah.
Oh,
I used to. You get addicted to the gym because they have the cardio monitors on every heart rate monitors on every cardio machine. So now when you can't make it to the gym, you're addicted. You don't know how to judge your how you're doing. So I've come up with the jiggle rate. It's how long it takes me to stop jiggling once I've passed out. I'm at a 45. No.
Yeah. I thought
that is,
and I was feeling great because I'm almost at 10 pounds and all those things. And it turns out that lady was like, "Hey, fatty." I was just like, man
that's tough.
Thanks, grandma. We were talking about Meemaw. She was kind of like that. You know, she passed away.
She had no filter. Meemaw had
no
filter.
No. Meemaw may have not been all there cognitively for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years of it. But she would still speak with you. I don't know. I just think maybe she was just eccentric.
That's the first thing to go, though, too, is like old people's filter is just different. You know, they just feel like they can say what they want. Remember Uncle Leo from Seinfeld? He would just steal things. People just steal when you're old because they just be like, I'm old. You can always get away with it. You get away with more when you're older is what I guess I'm saying. People just go, some old guy, whatever he wants to say. I'm going to take full advantage. I can't wait to be old.
Well, you're getting there.
Thank you.
Just kidding. But Meemaw would be like, Laura and I were laughing. Like, she would say, apparently this was a song. My mom told me this week. I didn't realize this was a song. Mm-hmm. Like, one time to Laura, Laura had been working out, and she was, you know, Laura's very attractive. I can say that. You can't. And Meemaw goes, Laura, you're looking, what was it? Round stacked and firmly packed, or round packed and firmly stacked, or something like. And
wow!
I think there was some song. I was like, Meemaw, that's a little inappropriate. I think you know, because it was like a. I don't know. His mom says she thinks it's some song.
I don't.
The 60s
you sure it's a song? I've never heard that
know,
song. If she'd said she's mighty mighty letting it all hang out,
she's a brick house. Anyway, and then she turns to me.
Yeah.
And she says. She pulls up my shirt.
Oh no!
To pat my belly because I had an extra bowl of ice cream that night. You know, now you think you should be having that? So apparently, like older ladies like to point out,
wow,
the fact that I have had a little pudginess.
You're under attack, bro. I don't apologize. I think you look great, John.
Well, thanks, Johnny.
You know, I support you in any endeavor, in your future endeavors. But it is this is the tipping point. For a lot of people, and so, I go to the gym pretty regularly now. We've done really well, and we work out every day. But, like, I hate the idea of, like, making fun of people who are what they call the resolution people. Yeah. You know, the gyms fill up.
Right.
These people will be gone 3 weeks.
Yeah,
like, that's not what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, whatever. If you're starting from scratch and you're trying to turn over a new leaf, I'm on your side, bro. Get out there, sis. Get out there and do it. Because I was there and still there in a lot of ways. Because it's hard. You got to just make yourself go. You build the habit, right?
There's a real shame that we all feel when we have to restart.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real like, oh, I should have never stopped. And it's like life has all, people who never stop and never have to restart, they're probably not healthy either. Like I know a few people like that. They're addicted to their workout.
Sure, that's a thing.
And like, it's almost bondage the way that they eat. Like, they can never have a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're
you can tell when somebody's on the treadmill because it's like they're on the treadmill, and then you can see when someone is just like running from death. You know, they're just like, this is what I have to do to run from death.
And that's not living either. Like at some point, again, it's back to feasting, Johnny. We talked about it.
I
feasted from October to December.
Feast on the treadmill. I've got a chicken leg in each hand, and that's how I do it.
So do you guys have an air fryer?
We do.
Do you use it a lot?
We don't. We did that when we first got it, and we did wings the other night, though, for the first time, and they were really good.
Yeah. Air fryer.
I'm surprised you buy wings when you have an air fryer, and Laura loves to cook so much.
Well, they're 60 cents, bro.
Yeah, but how
Laura
much are
loves
they
to cook. Listen, Laura, right now though, on what she's cooking, I mean, she works hard and she works hard at her job. And then
I'm
cooks
not
for us.
Suggesting that she should have a hot meal
you
for you ready.
My gosh,
like she's Donna Reed.
You and the patriarchy, man.
I know. I apologize.
So I love rotisserie chicken.
Mm-hmm.
My dog occasionally, when he was young, Brutus would get into the rotisserie
jump on the
chicken.
Rotisserie, and we're like, get off of there, buddy. That's not for you.
And but you know, if you ever let a dog, like it's like the thing And like he's sniffing at the trash can, you know. And I think I'm just like a dog with a rotisserie chicken. Like some people take the they cut into the top part and they take the wings and I eat like I could eat that
whole. You pick
whole,
up the chicken.
Like there's so much meat on the bottom of the chicken that nobody wants. You know?
Interesting.
Like there's so much there. So I discovered if
you go straight to the bottom of the chicken, is that what you're saying to me?
No,
flip it over.
I could
the
make,
whole chicken.
I can make like four meals out of that chicken. Laura's like, that chicken's good. We've had the wings, we've had the breast, we've had the legs. You know, I was like, no, there's so much meat left on this chicken. And she's like, that's gross. I'm like, I don't care.
You're going for the weird like chewy thing that's like chewing gum on the end of the the leg bone, you know, that you like accidentally bite into. You're like, ooh, what is this?
You know, well, I found though, I could cut all that extra meat off the bottom and put it in the air fryer, and it was unbelievable. Air fryer made it even better, Johnny. And I feel weird though. You know, they have the legs that are bound with that little string, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like this is what they did to this chicken before they executed
right.
it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's not it. I think it's just how they package it. But I'm almost like, man, you don't have to bind them. Like,
right, and don't remind me of the chicken's travails.
Inhumane treatment of the chicken. You know, they blindfolded him. I don't know what they did.
You don't want to know
his
story.
They put a bag over his head and drug him in a
Sheesh, this
windowless
got,
van.
This got dark. Well, I don't know.
Oh, sorry to all the chickens listening out there.
So, Valentine's coming up. It's time to start planning, right? You can't just, like, drop the ball. It's the end of January. This is what a lot of guys
do.
You know
my wife listens to this.
No, but I'm saying, like, do you have a plan? You don't have to tell me what the plan is.
My wife listens to this.
Yeah.
So, my... listen.
Do you do, like, a big deal?
No.
Right, because you have kids now.
So Laura and I usually go to dinner. We spend the money on a dinner, a nice dinner together.
But going out on Valentine's is a nightmare.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to be going out right now because of COVID anyway. But so we'll see what Valentine's holds. She says that's fine by her. Here's what we've learned about Christmas, Valentine's, all of it. Now, is that
women are liars? You don't have to get me anything, sweetie. Let's just
here's what we have is like we're so privileged that it's like. If we really want something, every day is like Valentine's Day. We just go to Amazon usually and get it if it's in the budget and occasionally if it's not. But you know, so we enjoy experiences. And
that's why I think I'm hard to buy for and you're very hard to buy for is because we want something, we'll go get it.
I already get it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I can't afford it. Now, again, this goes back here because you're going to roll your eyes. I do drive old cars. Unlike you, who's got that brand new GMC out there.
It's 2014, John.
Yeah, that is 4 years newer than any car I have. So,
John,
wow. You are high rolling on this comedy career.
It is. Let me tell you, it is a great time to be a stand-up comedian in the world.
But no, so Sadie, so when she was little, I would take her to wherever she wanted to go, which was always the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
So we'd dress up. And she goes to her room, and I would always come knock on the door, and I'd have her, like, usually a stuffed animal, chocolates, and some kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't say this because she has friends and stuff that listen to the podcast and everything. So, like, this is probably – she's 12. This is probably the first year that I won't be bringing all those things. I will bring something. But we have her another something that's more for her age appropriate. And then she gets to pick. So it used to be a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
I'd go out. Of course, she was little, would go, we'd sit, have a great time, eat some chips, and she was going to bed like 7:30, so we were home by like 6, you know, and that was great. So now, she, the last 2 years, it's been Cheesecake Factory.
Mm.
That's where she goes. And then we like walk around and do others. Like one, I think we ended up, one time I took her down to the Parthenon, we walked around there. Like, so she's old enough, we go do some cool stuff, you know. I don't know, I think I'm going to take her in an afternoon.
Yeah.
We decided, like, when the crowds are down and to be safe and you could distance, you know, we would go in.
But everybody's going to be thinking that.
No, no one's. Well, now the millions of listeners are going to
know. Oh, it's true. They're going to. You've tipped them off.
Oh, my goodness.
How long, John, before, I know you don't want to think about this, how long before Sadie has a date on Valentine's Day?
You know what, Johnny? I don't want to think about this.
That day's coming, my friend. Some goofy boy is going to show up to your doorstep. Ugh.
Yeah.
Sick thinking about it.
You know, yeah, I can't say anything. I can't say anything.
It's fine.
I would embarrass
my daughter. So Cheesecake Factory reminded me. I know there's a ton of like memes and tweets about the inauguration. Did you see the one that said that it's so weird that Joe Biden when he was taking the oath, put his hand on a Cheesecake Factory menu because it had that gigantic, the gigantic family Bible or whatever. It's true. The Cheesecake Factory menu is huge, but
it is enormous. It is a vast genre of foods.
It is. That's that thing. Bible though. It wasn't enormous. Just like it was big. It looked like it had like a hasp on it, like it was the Book of Secrets, like it was going to have like a padlock on the bottom of it.
I was thinking, is that
it had straps around it?
Like,
didn't
is it large print or something? Because the Bible's not that long. Like I was thinking to myself,
it's a pop up. There's a lot going on in there.
That's funny. It's a pop up. I don't think you want to see a pop up of all those stories.
That's
buddy.
True.
Some of those are not made for children's pop ups. So
yeah,
but.
Yeah,
which we're reading through the Bible right now, our community group, through the Bible Recap, by the way, everybody. It's a really great podcast. It's Tara Lee Cobble.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah. So you use the Bible app.
I'm behind now. I need to get
it's
on
okay.
it.
You can start wherever. Johnny, you can start wherever you are and then restart.
There's grace for you.
It's okay. But it's got – you use the YouVersion for the reading.
Yeah.
And I usually put on audio and then read along as they're reading to me.
Who's the voice? What does it sound like?
It's ESV. You can pick whatever version you want.
But you can't pick like a deeper voice or James Earl Jones.
Laura uses like I don't know which one she reads, but it's dramatic readings. It has like some music in the background. If they're like in a battle, it's like you hear these epic strings.
Oh, okay.
And stuff.
I like that.
She's got stuff. I just listen to the – if I had my druthers, it'd be a British accent, just like my Siri.
Oh.
But I haven't found that yet. I should go look and see if there's an ESV British Red Bible, but anywho, then you go listen to about 10-minute podcasts to 7-10 minutes, but it's we're in Genesis, and dude, I mean, some of the stories, man, there's some
started in Genesis that because a lot of these read through the Bible things don't start there. They kind of double back.
It did the first chapter of Genesis or so, first or second chapter, and then it went to Job. So
it
is chronological. Job
straight
is,
into Job.
Because Job is the next, it's all chronological. So it's the next oldest book. So they stopped in the story when they think Job lived, which is after the
flood. It's kind of like when people watch the Marvel movies in the chronological order instead of the order they were released.
Yeah. Do you know I'm so far behind, that. I'm not.
I don't know.
If I ever had a break in writing or something, I really should sit down and just watch all the Marvels in a row because I really don't know what's going on.
You don't even understand the true canon.
No, I don't. I watched Captain Marvel with Sadie last year, and I liked it.
Yeah.
So that was about it. But this, dude, the number of times in Genesis that somebody assumed a different identity is to lie is so staggering.
Yeah.
Like Sarah acting like she's Abraham's sister because he's afraid that the king will steal her away, and he did. And anyway, they were half-brother and sister. And apparently, like, she lived as Pharaoh's wife for a while. And all the implications of that. Of course, until plagues started raining on them, and Pharaoh figured out that wasn't right. And then I didn't realize.
Where are these movies? Why do the Bible movies never do these stories?
There's the reason there's not a pop up. I'll tell you that. And then you got. He did it twice. He did it again with Abimelech.
Yeah. Man, what a great name.
Yeah, Abimelech.
It's one of those names we just wish. I wish it had made it through. We need some Abimelechs.
It's not too late, Johnny. So
it's
too late for you, maybe, and for me. But for us, it's too late.
I've decided, if only just to name him Abimelech.
That's funny. And then, but Isaac did the same thing with Rebecca. I forgot that.
Yeah, Isaac, no, I remember that.
Isaac said, "Rebecca, you're too pretty. They're going to steal you." And guess who took her to try to make her his wife? Abimelech. They think it may have been the same guy.
This guy.
He's just stealing all Abraham's family's wives.
Man, you learn so much on this podcast.
It's unbelievable. And then you got Jacob dressing up like Esau to steal the blessing.
He just put some animal fur on himself, right?
Sheepskin. Johnny, I want to know something. How hairy was Esau?
That sheepskin fooled a blind guy.
That the guy was like, yeah, this is my son. And he smelled him and thought he smelled like Esau.
Wow.
Esau was hideous.
He stunk like a sheep.
Have you ever touched sheep's wool? My gosh, if you touch the back of this dude's neck, it must have felt. Now, I get hair in the back of my neck. I have to shave it.
He was between.
But this
cuts.
Is crazy. He had to shear his neck, Johnny. The man needed to shear his neck at Esau. It's crazy. And then you get, again, mistaken identity. Jacob goes and marry. It works 7 years, which I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say, hey, let me marry Rachel now and I'll work for 7 years?
Let me owe you 7 years.
But he brought up the idea. He was like, no. Let me work for 7 years and then give me Rachel. And then they switch the daughters and Leah comes in. It's like the number of identity
mistakes. I can't think of anything that I would work 7 years for.
Curry is listening to this. You wouldn't work for 7 years for Curry?
Well, I mean, if...
Oh, my goodness. This is about hesitancy says so much.
This is about the culture, meaning Isaac had to sign off on this, right?
Yeah. No, this was Laban.
Laban. So Laban had to sign off on this.
Yeah.
So there's no wedding without the father's blessing.
That would be true.
And he says, you got to work 7 years for this.
I want to think that I think that Jacob came up with the idea and Laban agreed
I love my wife so much, but I think at that point, if they said, you got to, even if it wasn't like hard, this is probably hard labor he did. If they said to me, you got to work 7 years at Subway, you got to make sandwiches for idiots for 7 years, I'd be like, you know what? There's other fish in the sea. I would have moved on. And you know what? Curry would have probably been better off, John, if we're honest. Wouldn't she?
Well, after 7 years at Subway, you weren't going to bring much to the marriage.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sorry to all the Subway workers. I'm just saying that may not be, unless you were the manager.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying because it's beneath me. I'm saying I feel bad for Subway, people that work at Subway, because I know what I'm like in there. I'm like, yeah. Hey, you give me a little more turkey? I like the shaky cheese and the sliced cheese. You got to do that for 7 years for a woman?
Did you know shaky cheese was my nickname in college?
Is it?
That's such a weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, I don't know, Johnny. I wouldn't work for Laura. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, near Valentine's Day,
now,
I'm not putting that dagger
listen,
out
but
there
you
like
knew,
you just did.
But now you know what you have. Then, when you were just like, this is going to be good, and you didn't know for sure, like you still have this uncertainty going into your wedding day?
I was pretty sure.
7 years, sure, John. 7 years, 7 years at Home Depot. I can tell you, Home Depot. I worked at Home Depot.
Oh,
and I quit, and I was married to Curry then, and I still quit there after 2.5.
So if you had to choose between Curry and Home Depot,
Curry. I had to be at Home Depot to keep Curry, now if she gave me the ultimatum, look, if it was just get a job, somebody's just like on the couch and she's like, I can't be married to somebody that doesn't work. Like, get a job. It'd be different if you were, like, unable to work. But you can work. Get off your butt. Get a job. You know, that you're losing the respect of your wife then. Okay, that's one thing. This is like a dude holding it over your head saying, like, hey, see my hot daughter? 7 years at Abercrombie & Fitch, or you can't have her. I'd be like, I'm not folding sweaters for this woman. I can't do it.
Yeah, Laban was a real creepo.
Yeah.
Like
he's the problem in the story is what I guess I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot of problems. Like here's like, for example, we all blame Jacob, right, for being the deceiver. And certainly he was, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
But Rebecca, his mom, it was her idea to deceive Isaac, her husband.
Isn't it always the way?
Oh, my goodness. Like, she's the one that said, go in there and I'll go make his favorite meal and blah, 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 blah. And then he went along with it. But would he have been disobeying his mother to not be deceptive? Let that theological atom be split inside of you. And then, this is something that the podcast said is really interesting. It's a possibility that Isaac, by trying to give the blessing to Esau, was actually being disobedient to God if he knew that God had said early on that Jacob would be the one with the blessing. Remember, because he said that when they were twins.
Oh, right, yeah.
But there's a possibility that God only said that to Rebecca because she's the one who said, what's wrong? Something feels wrong. It may have been, by the way, the first time in history there was twins. We're not sure. She felt something was weird with her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And God spoke to her and said, you're going to have twins, and they're fighting inside, basically, and the younger one is going to be the master over the older one. He'll be the one with the blessing that I bless. And we don't
know. So it's like manifest destiny, like which one? Like he was fighting against this word that had been declared over him, the curse, basically.
Right. And we don't know if she even told Isaac or if Isaac heard that word from God.
Oh, yeah.
So he may have this all this time thought it was Esau because apparently Rebecca and Isaac weren't really speaking or communicating on this stuff. So she's willing to deceive. Oh, it's just weird, man. It's weird. And then,
this is like Real Housewives of the OT. Remember that was the idea we had for the
OT
show? It is, man. This is messed up.
Oh, my goodness. I used to love all your little game shows when you were doing the youth college.
Oh, right. Let me ask you a question. Was
from
one.
The Book of Acts. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to be creative. You just try to keep their attention.
Yeah.
That wasn't just college group. That was my 10th grade, like, Sunday school class, too. We would do that. So you're just trying to, like, keep them. Now you'd be fighting. I have such respect for anybody trying to do youth ministry, college ministry now, because, like, you're just fighting people's phones now. Like, what am I saying that's going to keep you from looking down at your device for half a second? Back then, it wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah, I really think if I was doing youth ministry today, I may have a put your phone in the basket policy for part of the time. But
man,
I don't know.
Can you imagine? It'd be like pulling teeth. It's like taking somebody's. what's going to happen to it in the basket? Like, they'd be so terrified to hand it over. Do I get it back? Yeah. What if it rings?
It'd be so, yeah. It is crazy.
It's like you're taking their EpiPen. They don't know what to do without it. What if I need it?
Oh, my goodness, man.
I don't know.
Imagine the freedom we had when no one could get a hold of us.
It was. We didn't know it. We thought we were going to be so much more connected. And now it's too much connection, maybe?
Yeah.
It's just too much. But it's like an artificial level of connection, maybe?
Like, I remember going to Iceland in, like, 2001
mm-hmm.
and spending almost a month there.
And I hardly heard from you either. We were, like, really close. And
you didn't hear from me at all.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford to call. I could only call I was a newlywed, and
I talked to her. Did I get an email from you?
Maybe.
I got some kind of something.
I don't even sure I called her, but a couple times, because it was, like, you know, $50 or whatever a call.
Yeah.
And it was just like, the idea today, if I went to Iceland, it'd be as if I was here. We could just text and talk the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I could show you pictures of everything.
You'd be having, like, an Instagram story a day of some glacier that you went to,
yeah.
bragging about it, trying to get likes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be present. I'd be,
You'd be like, oh, this is going to make the best video. You'd be trying to figure out how to make content.
Because
we're all addicted to content now.
Yeah. I will never forget Aaron Wharton, who's now engaged, when he was little. I remember
this was like five.
Yeah,
I remember this.
Yeah. We were like, I think we were at Cheddar's maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And there was the big fish tank they have in Cheddar's there, you know, and he looked at it and he goes, Dad, this is almost as good as HD.
Yeah, because they had like the UV light on the fish to make the colors pop.
But he's the beginning of that technical generation that was that
these fish who are real are almost in HD.
Yeah. He was so that was when you knew real life was not as good.
It's crazy, but I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention that we had the inauguration.
Yeah.
And it went off safely, which is great.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody was kind of like clenching, right? You had to be.
Oh,
thinking,
I was.
Like,
my kid was watching it with us, and I was like, oh, man, please. No,
like, I had to watch because I was like, I want to watch and see what's going to happen. But also, you're like, please let this go off safely. And so I was so relieved that it did. And there were so many remarkable things about it. Obviously, the poem by the youth poet laureate or one of the youth poet laureates that 22 years old, this young lady. Fascinating. It was a really cool story that she rewrote it the night after the Capitol insurrection that she went and rewrote it all. So just the idea that she had just like, she was inspired by that to finish. That's so cool. I don't know what stood out to you.
I mean, you know, one thing is the pandemic, though, there's a lot fewer people there. I think that a lot more people across the country were involved and engaged because of the nature of the pandemic.
I know a lot of people put out that it's so funny people do this now on social media. They have to put down when they were refusing to watch something or when they're leaving social media. They have to like announce it. But I had a few of those. Like, I didn't watch a second of this. Okay, whatever. But I thought, man, as an American, it's cool to see like our system is still moving. It's definitely injured right now.
Sure.
You can't even call this a peaceful transfer of power at this point because people died.
Right.
You know.
It's a peaceful day.
Yeah, it's a peaceful day.
It hasn't been a peaceful process.
Right. There's a tainted nature to it. But I think it was fascinating to watch. And I thought it was interesting, too, that I thought his speech was really good.
Yeah.
And somebody trended on Twitter. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Brit Hume. It was somebody. I was like, This is the best inauguration speech I've ever seen, and I've seen all of them going back to John F. Kennedy's "Ask Not What Your Country Can Do for You" speech. And I was like, and then I saw the clip that it was Fox News, and I was like, well, this isn't gonna land well.
I heard he took a lot of shots at Biden the rest of the day after that.
Yeah, maybe he did. Yeah, you got to make up for it all.
He had to balance it, you know. But
that's fine. And again, I'm not in the tank for any political candidate. That's kind of what we were trying to make a point of with our last thing. Is like, well, let's not fall into idol worship of either side, but. Just the idea of, like, if you just listen and you think about some of the things he was saying, like, that unity is the way forward and that he did – it was very thematic. It wasn't like this is specifically what I'm going to do, but it was very, like, these are the pieces that we need to make it through this next winter that we're going into.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, again, I know last episode we were very honest. We felt like we had to be, and we gave context to that. You know, listen, I wanted Trump to succeed.
Right.
When
I mean,
got elected,
who the heck wouldn't want that?
I want whoever is in office for the good of the country. I want things to go well. I wanted his tone to change and for him to become more presidential. I wanted all those things. I want that for Biden. I want that for whomever is in office. Desire that. I do believe that there. I do think that there was a lot of interesting things said, and there's a. It was a historically. I don't mean just like for who it was. I just think every time there's an inauguration, I'm always fascinated by the history of it. And there's pageantry there that represents something substantial. I don't think it's just pomp and circumstance.
No, there's some cool rituals that we do that mean a lot. Yeah. And I think are very cool.
Very much so.
Like go visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's
the review of the troops.
Uh-huh.
And the Commander-in-Chief reviewing the troops. I thought all that. I did like how Biden walked around and opened the car door of his big, huge, like, tank limousine for his wife.
Yeah.
He was supposed to get on the other side, and he wouldn't leave. That was cool to me. I thought the three presidents, you had Bush, Obama, and Clinton. Did you watch that part?
A little bit.
They were standing in the rotunda. We were there last year there at Arlington. And I thought that was pretty cool that Republicans and Democrats came together to talk about.
Well, and you've seen a lot of them come together in recent history for charitable purposes anyway. Hurricane relief and disaster relief. I think that's cool. Some of that's happening. But yeah, what were you saying?
Well, and there are three two-term presidents.
Yeah.
So they represent a lot of our adult life, all of our adult life, honestly,
right.
They represent, because they all served. I mean, that's 21 years of presidents standing mm-hmm. there. So that was 24 years of presidents standing there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When was Clinton elected? 96?
92.
92. So, yeah, I'm sorry. You had.
Yeah, 92. Then in 96, he beat Dole.
Yeah. And then straight into Bush from 2000 to mm-hmm. 8, and then Obama from 8 to 16. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot there. And I think that we use all these coined terms that I think can cheapen after a while when we repeat them, bipartisanship or those kinds of things. But
yeah.
I just think that there was if we roll our eyes at the idea that both sides of the aisle are supposed to all be working towards one purpose, which is governing for the citizenry, then I think that we really do lose the best part of democracy. I think that has to be something. It'd be nice, and I'm going to use this term, it's not in a religious way, but it would be nice if from an ideological way there was some sacredness to that idea that we all on all sides are supposed to be working for a common good.
Right.
That should be true of any government.
A little bit of benefit of the doubt instead of just like immediately descending into apathy and suspicion.
Right. Well, we talked about opposition-based thinking and all those things, and you really can't get caught in such adversarialism that your viewpoint doesn't exist outside of a negative expression of your opponent.
Yeah.
And if you can't articulate your viewpoint outside of taking someone else down,
right.
then
right. Show me why we should have hope based on your belief, not the world's going to come to an end if you elect my opponent. Like
right.
that's the doom and gloom thing. And the sad thing is it works. Just like we've talked about, why baseball players never want to talk about steroids. They never will say the one thing, which is steroids work. That's why I took them.
Right.
Well, mudslinging in politics works, and that's why people do it. But it over the course of time, over the 100 years, it's drained the populace. It's drained us emotionally. We're so beat down from it that now we participate in the mudslinging. We pick up the dirt clods and sling them at people too.
We always had political infighting and yellow journalism and those kinds of things. But again, we're not trying to go down these paths again. But your rise of social media to make everyone's voice have an equal potential to be heard, no matter what it is, with really there's no consequence. Which I believe completely in free speech. I just believe constitutionally you have the freedom to say whatever you want or express whatever you want, but you are not free from the consequences of what you've expressed.
Yeah.
That's why you can still be sued, or that's why there's libel
right.
and slander and all those things. So there is a consequence to free speech. And I think now we're up in arms about there being consequences to free speech. And I think that's – the Constitution never declared that. That's not even logical.
Yeah.
So I think to say – back to the three presidents – there was, for me, I think not just a symbol of unity. I think that people who have spent this time, who have, in some ways, in some instances, campaigned against one another, and who can stand, and we know that they do a lot of good in charity work and other things. And I've read some biographies on various presidents. Those guys, actually, a lot of them, especially by the way, Bush Senior, George H.W. Bush and Clinton became pretty good friends.
Yeah.
I mean, after they were absolutely political enemies, you know, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, same thing, like completely political enemies who became friends later in life. And there is a, there's something about, there's something beautiful there that, and I do believe anytime you see unity that it, I'm not calling it all Christian. I'm saying that there is no unity in my mind that doesn't originate with Christ. That's his idea. And there is that inherited imago Dei, that image within all of us, even those who deny God's existence. We cannot be created outside of some of the things we have inherited from the Creator. So it's, it doesn't require, as I'm saying, it doesn't require my acknowledgement in order to be true. I think that's what I'm saying. And we struggle with that relativism today. Truth does not require my acknowledgement of it in order to be true. It's better when I can acknowledge it than because I can now experience the fullness of it.
Yeah.
So I just think that that unity felt healing to people who watched for a reason, because unity feels healing. That's the way God made unity to be.
Well, in the same way that like we think we love a schoolyard fight because everybody gets all excited, but then after a while, like peace, it just feels better. When things can go off without a hitch and you just go, all right, well, even if I didn't vote for this guy, like there wasn't a bombing, there wasn't a thing. We're gonna move forward. We're gonna figure it out. To me, it was like I could exhale a little bit.
Somebody said, Laura read me a quote. Somebody talked about the poet and said it was like, what did they say? Like that we had been dying of thirst and she poured hope out. Or maybe it was a starving and she gave us hope to eat.
Yeah.
Like there was a, like it was like a
you know, it's so cool when you see a young person that has hopefulness.
Yeah.
And while also calling to account a darkness, but also like, this is the antidote. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. But leading into that, I want to talk about this because I mean, every president does this for the last how many ever terms, where they get in, they sign a stack of executive orders.
Yep.
I don't know when this became, you may know, you're more of a U.S. historian. Executive orders now are just, it's out of control, right? They just try to, I'm going to undo this, I'm going to undo that. Yeah. And then the other one gets in, if it's another party, he undoes the, and you sign this stuff off without going through any whatever. Some of it, I guess, is necessary. And then some of it's like, I feel like you should have to go through the Senate and the House. This is the will of the people. You should have to, states' rights should come into there at some point. But I started thinking, because somebody tweeted out, what would you do, what would your executive orders be? And I think they were kind of trying to be a little bit light. And I was like, you know what? I like this. So I started thinking about it. And I started to text you yesterday and say, be thinking about this. Because we do very little research for this show.
Hey.
It's pretty obvious.
No.
But I actually thought about it. And so today, when I woke up, I knew we were going to do the show. I wrote down some executive orders. If I were president, I'm talking about within 5 minutes, these would be on my desk. I would walk from the rotunda to my desk, and I'm signing these. So,
is it rotunda or rotundra?
It's rotunda.
Rotunda.
Road.
Rotundra.
That's a...
Yo.
Toyota.
Toyota Rotundra. All right, hit me with them here.
These are my executive orders. Now, some of these are in various levels of intensity and in different categories of life. Let's start off with something light. Let's go with sports. Okay.
Right. Executive order number one from President Johnny W.
Yes. 4-point shot in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
Well, they're shooting from almost half court now anyway.
Yeah.
The rules, people worry about the numbers, like this will skew the numbers. Steph Curry's going to blow past everybody and he's going to have the most points. Who cares? The numbers don't matter anymore anyway. The legacy of the game, whatever. Stop that. We want people to watch the game. This makes the game more exciting. 4-point shot. But I would also say a slam dunk is now a 3-pointer.
What?
Because they don't play defense enough at the rim, and I want to see people going for these blocks. So now a slam is worth 3. 4-point shot from like just inside half court's 4-point shot.
Wow. Are you putting a box out there?
You put
or
a box
line?
Out there. Well, they've done it in one of the big three league, you know, the little summer league that Ice Cube started. They have a 4-point shot there. So I would do something similar,
how
like
many
a circle.
It?
A lot of people take them. I mean, there's a few people make them. You know, they got ex-NBA players in that league. Anyway, so that's a quick one.
I don't like it.
Okay. This one's definitely, and I would really do this in the NBA, the single bonus, like in college, give me a 1-1. The free throw shooting is abysmal in the pros. Give me a reason
which
to
make... Which is crazy. It's the easiest thing to do in sports.
Give me
Why?
A reason to make that front free throw shot, and then I give you a second free throw. Don't
you,
just...
You mean they
just,
don't have... They go no, straight to two shots?
Always. Well, they have a, they have no bonus until, like, six fouls in the quarter or whatever, and then you go to the... But it always goes straight to double bonus. So you get two free throws. Yeah. That's dumb.
Because it's 1-1 at 7 until you get to 10, right, for...
Something like that. Yeah, they need a single bonus, so that's a quick one.
All right.
Onside kick... It's too hard to do it now in the NFL, so I think you replace it with an attempt at a 70-yard field goal.
Yeah.
If you're down more than 3 points, if you make that 70-yard field goal attempt, you get to kick another one.
I could get behind that.
Isn't that bad? Wouldn't that make the game more exciting?
Except I'd be so mad. Now you just got to put a great kicker in your team, and you could always win.
There's nobody that's kicking a 70. A great kicker, John? That breaks the record by like 5 yards.
Nah, I think someone's gotten close. There's like a 67, I think.
70-yard field goal, though. But you're defending it. Like, it's not just like they just get a free kick. You still have your line. Like,
is it defended? Oh, it is defended.
It's defended,
oh,
yeah.
You're not telling me I'm defending it. You're telling me that the defensive line can defend it.
They can defend it just okay, like it's a regular play. You don't just get to, like, put it on a tee and kick it. Okay, so then we go into just like, this is more everyday life. If you say the phrase, working hard or hardly working, you get 1 year in jail. We're gonna bring back headphone jacks on all iPhones immediately. Oh. Because it's done that they got rid of them. If you're not a headphone jack person, fine. But why wouldn't it just be there? It doesn't cost you anything to keep it there. They did it to force you to buy their dumb little additive jacks and their little adapters. Yeah. And just force you into Bluetooth, which has, depending on what Bluetooth you buy, has not as good quality if you're listening to music. I don't like it. And in my presidency, we're going to get rid of it. Headphone jacks are coming back in a big way. Here's one.
All right.
Individual Yelp reviews.
Okay.
And here's where it's tied. It's your license plate.
Wow,
so
for driving.
Wouldn't you drive more safely if I thought I was getting ranked? I was getting rated.
How are you going to stop people from just trolling you?
We'll figure it out. We're going to get a system in place. There'll be a task force. Here's one.
You're going to have the czar.
This one happens a lot around Christmas, but it's happening when it's not even Christmas anymore. These porch pirates. They come. This happened with people are stealing insulin off your doorstep.
It should be a felony.
It is a felony. You can go to jail for it. But when they get out of jail... They have to wear an actual pirate outfit for 6 months. That's how we're going to know you did it. We're going to see these pirates out in public with eye patches and a fluffy shirt and possibly a trained bird on their shoulder. We're going to be like, that guy stole an Amazon package last Christmas. Netflix preview clips are outlawed. You know when you're trying to scroll for a movie, do you have this on your TV? And it starts playing the first, like, it's on there for half a second, and then it starts playing the preview of the show very loudly. And you can't think straight because you're like, I just wanted to see the info. I don't want to hear the show. Stop it.
Actually, the thing I hate about Netflix is when you click on it, and I like, usually Laura is up getting something still, and I'm trying to queue it up.
Yeah.
And it still has the... see more episodes, that whole thing.
Right.
You have to wait for it to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode starts.
Yes.
And sometimes it'll start and get into stuff, and I can't push pause until that disappears.
Yes.
I want to be able to exit that and then push pause.
There's a reason they do it, and it's some weird manipulative algorithm thing that says that we watch more and we... I don't know why, but it's... I don't like it. There should be a way to opt out of that preview screen.
I like that you're hitting the things that matter.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
This is what you can expect from a Wethington presidency.
Yes.
If you call me to ask about my car's extended warranty.
Oh, so help me.
You are authorized. Or you're not authorized. You are required to pay for my next car repair.
Yeah.
If you call me to harass me, first of all, these are all scams. None of these are real, by the way. These extend your car's warranty, they're all like weird scams. So if you call me and I can trace it back to you, when my transmission goes out, it's on you, buddy.
I really do think that the president, quite honestly, or someone out there could do something to actually stop this complete phishing scam.
Uh-huh.
Our phones ringing 18 times. It should be. I'm sorry.
Don't you think this is an assault on capitalism, though, John, when we don't let people just like willy-nilly like force their business
when
advertising?
When I have already opted out and you continue to harass me,
you shouldn't be allowed
to
opt out, John. You can't opt out of a television commercial.
I can't. I turn it off.
I'm just trying to give you the devil's advocate argument for spam.
Well, I'm going to be the attorney general in your administration.
Thank you.
We're going to change some things.
That's why you're going to get 5 stars in my individual Yelp review of you. He's a great person. Wouldn't it be weird, though, if you went on a date with a person And then, like, before you're on the way home, and you're like, let's see how this went.
That's great.
You get to look and see, you know?
This just, that one feels like
it could get weird if you get, like, the crazy ex-girlfriend, for sure, that's just determined to ruin your life. And they're just going to, you know, slam you on the Yelp reviews, create a bunch of accounts.
Yeah.
Johnny Hater 10101 or whatever. Now it's like, okay, let's see. What else do I got? If you share a funny tweet or meme, this is serious to me, without crediting the source. In other words, if you've seen these people where they just crop out your name and your tag, they just share it like it's theirs. This is, the internet is rife with this stuff. 10 hours of community service. If I can prove you did it.
It's plagiarism.
Yeah. 10 hours. I'm not going to send you to jail, but you're going to pick up trash on the street and think about what you did.
Yeah. If you're not able to articulate those words on your own, then you should give someone else credit. Otherwise,
you're stealing the laugh. Ill-gotten gains.
Yeah. Or you're stealing someone's political rant.
Yeah.
And you sound more intelligent than you are.
Mm.
If you have to use someone else's words.
That's a big problem. Yeah. I sound more intelligent than I am.
Wow.
It's not hard. Okay. Finally, I want to do a total revamp of the hotel check-in system.
Okay.
I book a hotel on Expedia. They charge my card.
Yeah.
They know I'm coming.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the way.
And they still take an
hour. I get there and they go, reservation. They go, last name. I go, Weddington. They go, can I see your ID? Sure. I give them the ID anyway because they can't spell my name. They're going to get it wrong. And then they type.
God, what are they
for
typing?
For five minutes. Clickety, clackety, clickety, clackety. Stop it.
Yeah.
The room should be all ready.
Yeah. You should have my key when I walk in the door.
Yes.
I've often checked out on the app
And don't
already.
Give me the thing of, well, what if you don't show up? We need to be able to sell that room to somebody else. That's when you should go clickety-clackety. You should have to clickety-clackety if I don't show. Not if I do show. I've paid you. It's my room now.
Same thing with car rental.
Oh, car rental.
I don't understand. I've already paid for this. I already have the reservation.
You know I'm coming.
You know I'm coming. We've already picked which car I'm getting. Hand me the keys.
Thank you.
I understand seeing my license.
Let me prove I'm you.
Maybe make a copy of it.
Yeah.
What takes another 20 minutes over there? I don't understand.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I want to see what they're seeing.
I wonder
if they're just like, it's just nothing. They're just
like Galaga.
It's a typing exercise.
Yeah. It's almost like if we let these people through, then, you know. Johnny, I do think that perhaps you overestimate the reach of the executive branch. Just a skosh.
Maybe.
Just a little bit. But other than that, I'm on board for almost all those. I'm not on board for the 4-point shot.
Really?
The 3-point dunk.
Is this because you value the records held by, like, if somebody just blows past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for most points ever?
Yeah,
it's,
I think
because
it's
because they shot 4-point shot. It's hard to compare.
Yeah, I think the game has
but
history.
People already say you can't compare eras because defense is, you know, you can no hand checking now, so people are going to score more coming off of. So that's all changed. Baseball's changed. Baseball is, they love their records the most.
They change it the most.
And it's the least, like, across the board symmetrical. Like, you can have pitcher's parks and hitter's parks. I can have a home run that's 360 feet, and you can have a home run that's 420 feet with a giant green wall that people sit on top of.
But that's still not as bad as soccer, where, like, hey, we may just extend the game an extra 10 minutes because we can.
But they say they chose that number based on, like, time in the match that there was downtime. So they choose that number. It's not just arbitrary.
So they say. It is arbitrary because it's still in the ref's head.
What about soccer goals being worth 7? Do you think more Americans would watch?
That'd be great.
If it was 7 points, it felt like a touchdown?
Be great. By the way, I finished Ted Lasso.
Yeah? What do you think?
You think it's going to be another one, right?
Oh, yeah. Because they get relegated.
They set it up. Oh, I thought it was great.
I knew you'd love it.
I thought it was great. Again, not endorsing everything.
No. I mean, they're not a sponsor. No. That's what you mean.
But it was. It had Lara loved it. A lot of feel good.
I just love that you can make a show with heart that's not corny.
Yeah. Like the bitter British culture all around him.
Yeah.
You know, like it was very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't recommend it because I do recommend it. I'm not going to take responsibility for the language.
I'm not going to take responsibility for what your kids say after they watch it.
Exactly. What does this word mean, Mommy?
Don't let your kids watch it. No, what? It was good. Yeah. It was good. You know what we're watching now?
No.
Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love Cobra Kai. You just started season one?
Yeah. How long has this been out?
Well, they had season one and two, which were on YouTube Premium. They were trying to sell YouTube, you know, premium memberships. So they built it as a YouTube show. And then Netflix bought it.
Gotcha.
Between season 2 and 3, They filmed season three, and now it's a Netflix property.
It's got a bunch
property.
Of big actors. I'm surprised it was just a YouTube thing. Like, not that YouTube's – I mean, I get it. YouTube's huge, but it's not like it's your – I don't go to YouTube to watch shows.
Well, they were trying to get you to, and now whatever. But
no, I'm fascinated by it.
It's great because, you know, I think the whole thing was built around – there was a couple of articles that came out a few years ago that said, was Daniel LaRusso the actual bully in Karate Kid? It was a funny kind of a twist on the article. Like, it made a case – that he started everything, you know. And so I think from that idea, they were like, let's do a show where we follow up with Johnny after the years. And like Daniel LaRusso's this, he's a successful car dealership owner now. And Johnny's this down and out, still drives a Dodge Charger, listening to 80s rock. He's drinking, whatever. So he's that guy now. And so how this moment changed their lives and like, is Daniel the bad guy? Like, it's a funny and cool. And plus, they don't take themselves very seriously in the show. It's got the right tone. Which is what you need if you're going to do an 80s throwback. You can't be like, let's keep the exact same tone as the 80s movies. Because now audiences look at that and realize they were kind of corny.
But Johnny, here's the one thing about it. They found a way to make it look like Johnny has not paid attention to society since 1985.
Right.
Like literally, he still says he doesn't know what the internet is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like he was in a time capsule. I guess he was just drunk the whole time. It's kind of what they're
insinuating. I think he asked at one point if they could tweet something and hash brown it. He meant hashtag. He asked if they should.
Well, he did say you get your eye computers is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, everything he says is so politically incorrect and all this stuff. He's calling her by the horrible names. And, you know, it's just like, you know.
It's a great show.
So, yeah, last night, the guy with the cleft palate came in with the mohawk.
Yeah.
So, this is a weird moment I'm going to myself as a writer. I'm going, it worked.
Yeah.
Like his method so far just gave this kid who was a complete, you know, he felt like a social pariah who had no confidence. Now he's got confidence, but it's Johnny. But I still feel like though that it's being built on the wrong foundation. So,
well, you'll have to stay tuned to see if you were right, John.
But it's really interesting. The music, of course, I love the 80s music and everything. It's been
I don't know. I like shows like that they do. It's like a touchstone, obviously, to your childhood, and they're playing off that. But I do like that they don't. It's like when they made the Brady Bunch movies, where they kind of made fun of the Brady Bunch while also drawing in an audience that loves the Brady Bunch. You know, I thought that was just the perfect thing to do, and I think Cobra Kai does the same thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So yeah, doing Cobra Kai now and. Yeah, so it's be good. But I'm really excited about all the changes coming to your administration.
Well, it's going to be good. And, you know, we'll work on the other policies, too. We'll figure out how we can eradicate racism. And
you'll deal with
that. We'll get to that. But first, rental cars.
Right. Well, you should be like, there needs to be a position in the executive branch that's for all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the miscellaneous czar.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like you just for all the stuff that doesn't fall anywhere else or really into society at all, you know, and there's an overreach perhaps, but you're going to go do the bidding of all those things. You're just going to, you know, walk around.
What about this? Why isn't there a device underneath every toilet seat where I can just say, seat up? And then seat down.
Yeah.
Like, why do I, you know what I'm saying?
Why do you got to touch it? Why do I have to touch? Disease?
Why do I have to touch a toilet seat?
Yeah.
Just to be, like, I was in a porta potty yesterday on the trail. I was there on the Greenway. And the seat is down. Someone's been in there who was sitting. Mm. And now I either am going to pee on the seat, which is totally discourteous, or I'm going to touch a seat that might have been peed on and probably was peed on.
Right.
I need.
Certainly that someone was just sitting on.
Yes.
Yes.
And instead, I guess I could have gloves or whatever, but again, I'm going for a bike ride. I don't have gloves. I need a device to just like, Alexa, you know, or whatever, raise seat, or it just knows, it senses. I don't know how it would sense.
Our level
things.
Of privilege, Johnny.
It is, so... but again, we're in a pandemic, John. I'm trying not to spread my.
Speaking of privilege, if I told you that for the first time in 10 years, my wife is sleeping through the night.
Because of.
So she goes to bed freezing.
35 milligrams of melatonin.
She goes to bed freezing.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up sweating in the middle of the night. So then.
Oh, sorry. Right. You told me you got this device.
So she wakes up burning hot, but then she gets back cold again.
Yeah.
So we got a thing that goes around your mattress. And
it's like a topper?
It's like it encompasses the mattress. It was quite the complicated installation on the mattress. Now you can buy its own mattress. It's called It's called Eight Sleep.
Eight Sleep.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor.
And so, literally, well, you could have a money-back guarantee.
Yeah.
And I was like, but she hasn't slept. I'm not telling you, like, my wife doesn't sleep. It's not uncommon for her to have multiple three hours of sleep a week. Like, that's just normal for us. And so it's very, she just wants to sleep, you know. And again, I lay there, and if I'm awake, just like, don't move, you know.
Right.
She might be sleeping, you know. And so she had this theory, perhaps this temperature thing is part of the problem.
Yeah.
So it has this then hose that comes off the back over to this like tower, looks like a computer tower.
What?
And it's a reservoir, and you put in distilled water.
What?
And it literally puts water into that mattress thing you just put down. You can't feel the water, like it's just going through these tiny little
capillaries.
Whatever, yeah, like capillaries. And it's now with an app, you can set your temperature.
Oh my gosh.
And it keeps up with your heart rate all night.
What?
It keeps up with how many times you got up and down, gives you a score every day. And you can then tell it, like, that's not accurate. And it'll keep helping you adjust to get to your best sleep. So she sets it. Like, I get in, it's like I have a heated bed. I turn to like 10.
Yeah.
Super hot. So at night, when we're going to get in to watch Cobra Kai, I turn on the bed, get in there. It's like unbelievable. So comfortable. You feel great in the winter. It's awesome. Then it knows about you set what time about you fall asleep, you know? And I guess it knows when you're still, and it says it'll keep it at 10 until you fall asleep. Then it comes down to 4. So I start off warm. Then in the middle of the night, like for Laura.
Then somebody marinades you, flips you over.
And she knows that she starts getting hot around 2 or whatever. So she, you know what? She has it set to like -4.
Oh.
Not degrees, but that's the setting on the thing. And so it cools her at like 2 a.m. So she doesn't wake up.
Oh, wow.
And then you can set it to slowly get warmer as you're waking up. So in the morning, you wake up and your bed's all nice and toasty, you know?
Yeah.
And he's kind of bringing you out of sleep, though, because it's getting warmer and warmer, you know? Cause it kind of wakes you up softly. Or it has a vibration if you want to set that as an alarm to wake you up, like underneath you. Like,
what?
It'll kind of like silently vibrate and help, not silently, but it's like a big one. It's like a, it'll just slowly wake you up so you wake up rested. And it keeps up with this and like gives you all these like stats and data every day. And Johnny.
What if this machine becomes like self-aware and decides that the humans are the enemies? And it cranks you up to like 65.
And it fries us the middle of the night. Yeah.
It bakes you alive in your own bed.
It has no control over the sheets, so I think I would just jump out. But,
oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're like a frog in a, it's a frog in a pot, right? You've laid there as it slowly cranks it up. You got like grill marks on you when you wake up the next day. You're like, this thing's trying to kill me.
Dude, it's been amazing. Okay, seriously, to answer the prayer. We have not been able to get my wife to sleep for a long time.
And all
it
cost was $12,000.
It wasn't that much, but I did say, here's the thing I told her. If it works, if you actually start sleeping through the night, I will pay almost anything.
We're so spoiled, though. It's like, I get text messages from my vacuuming robot. If you had told me that sentence
so ridiculous.
Like 10 years ago, you'll have a robot that'll clean your house, and it'll send you text messages if it gets stuck somewhere, or if you need to empty out the thing.
Yeah. Well, I just showed you right before we started my pad here, my Remarkable 2.
Right.
It has been more impactful than when I first got an iPhone. It is that unbelievable. So, because it writes, it sounds like paper. It will read my handwriting, convert it to text. And I've been working on a book. I can turn it landscape and sketch ideas, or not ideas, but concepts with timestamps into my interviews. And then if I find something new that should have been inserted, I can circle it and I can move it across the page, make it bigger. Like, I literally have used it from everything from sermon prep to...
It's like a beautiful mind. You're just like seeing numbers and spheres and squares.
It's like infinite windows around me. I can move them wherever I want on this one pad.
The computer in Minority Report. Remember when he did that? He was like, open this. And he's like moving his hands.
Yes.
And he's,
It's
what you have now.
It's what I have. And like, again, and it's also an e-reader, by the way, but my computer's too old to put all this on there. I got to get a new computer.
So you now have a pad that is better software than your current computer.
Well, it won't. My computer's 10 years old. For all of your drunk, it's whatever he wants. My computer, Johnny, but it has actually.
Well, I don't think you're lending any. You're not really opposing
that. I just told you about
magic,
the mattress.
Your magic waterbed thing that.
Yeah, I know, guys. We have it pretty good. And listener, we hope that you felt like you had it pretty good today.
We hope you're sleeping in a pressure cooker. just like us.
We do thank you for listening. Send us more of your questions and comments, and anything that you're curious at what we might talk about, serious or otherwise. And we're always here to listen the best that we can as those things come in. If they're things we can talk about, sometimes they come in, we're like, yeah, that's probably not the best for us to discuss, kind of thing. But most of them, we'll give it a go, John.
I wonder if somebody sends in questions and then when we don't talk about it, they think we're censoring them. They feel, yeah. I don't know. I hope not.
I'm sorry. There may have been one. If we haven't talked about yours, I did look for one today, and I couldn't find it.
If only it was on your magic pad.
I'm not sure if it went to an email, to the Facebook, to the... Anyway, I don't know.
Can you send these directly to our trash folder, please? Trash at talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
No, we do appreciate you listening, so make sure you share it, leave us a review, and tell your friends about it. And it's an exciting new year. We're glad to be going through it with you, and we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.